Good morning, Southwest Florida. It's 11:06 and time for the Dr. Triana Show. Brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center, located at 3155 Harbor Boulevard, Suite 100, Port Charlotte, Florida. Give them a call at 625-1990. Once again, that's 625-1990. And you can go to their website at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. This is a live radio talk show, a live medical talk show in which we encourage you to participate. So call us at any time. We'll stop the show right in the middle and take your call immediately. 206-1580 is the number. Toll free, 888-441-1580. And now your host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, boy, we have an incredible show. I have two amazing guests. And I'm going to talk first on how I met them, and then I'll introduce them. I went to the Captain's Ball for the Animal Welfare League. And it was wonderful. Oh, what a great event. It was just a beautiful event. Well, I'm going to stop. I have Eric and Diane Hoffer from the Hoffer Family Foundation, and they're going to talk about all the wonderful things that they do. I know they each have a little doggy halo on their heads. You know, I love animals. So I met them. Yes. What did you say, Diane?
I said it's really horns.
But I say doggy halos. But anyways, so I went to the Animal Welfare League, and these incredible family was honored for the work that they do. And we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that they do and how much they give to our community and all the accolades that they have received and well deserved. Because, you know, this is a health show, and what is more healthy than love? And having the love of a wonderful dog, pet, a cat or a bird, your horse, it's so wonderful for your spirit and your heart. So I'm going to introduce today Eric Hoffer and Diane Hoffer. Would you like to say hello?
Oh, hello.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
I don't know who those people are you're talking about, but I'm blushing.
No, I mean, I've met them and we've been talking beforehand, and just incredible. So I want to start out by asking, you know, I know you have this foundation. Tell me what you do with this foundation, because obviously we have two extremely well-educated people. You both worked in, you said, psychology, right?
Yes. I was an inventor and had a business, and we manufactured the patents that I created. I have about 15 patents, and they're oriented towards security and had nothing to do whatsoever with animals. But we decided to change that when I semi-retired.
Well, Diane, you said since the 1990s, right? You've been rescuing German shepherds?
Well, we actually started sometime in the early 1990s, where we worked with our local shelter in New Jersey. And as luck would have it, I brought home every German shepherd in the shelter, bathed them, fostered them, and we worked to get them adopted.
At the time, we had a German shepherd that was a challenge. And quite frankly, she was a very, very difficult dog. Diane had rescued her from the Newark shelter, and she was in tough shape. We trained her. We had her for about 3 years, and we found that at that point, she was just too much. She was an attack dog, basically, and we had her under control. We loved her dearly, and she was great with us, but she was just not the kind of dog that we wanted for our family. So after 3 years of working with her and doing whatever we could to get her trained, we gave her to a friend of ours who was a court officer, and she spent the rest of her life with him. We just couldn't deal with a dog with that level of aggression and energy. At one point, even our friends wouldn't come visit us. So we got a chance to really understand dog behavior from an aggressive dog's perspective, and we had a Golden who was a big mush. So we had we had one of each, and we learned how to deal with these animals and deal with them on a level that we could get them under control. And from there, we started to get calls from our local shelter, where Diane was involved with creating a group in New Jersey called Second Chance for Animals. And we got a chance to work with, train, and bathe, and love, and rehome shepherds. And we would do about 8 to 10 a year. It wasn't much more than that. Now I do 20 a month. But the fact that at the time we learned how to deal with these animals, and they are different. It's not your general foo-foo dog. These are big animals, and you have to understand their behavior in order to be able to put them in a home. And the work that we did back in the 90s enabled us to know enough about them behaviorally and about the breed itself to be able to do what we do today.
And what attracted you? Oh, go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say that whole experience also is the basis for our acceptance of dogs into our rescue. We don't take aggressive dogs of any kind in our rescue. Mm-hmm. We, before they even come in, both from shelters and from private turn-ins, we evaluate them for temperament. And if they show signs of aggression towards people, we just refer them elsewhere. Because we don't want somebody else to go through the same heartbreak that we went through, and trying to manage a dog with that level of aggression, it's just too difficult.
We won't put a dog in somebody's home that we wouldn't keep in ours.
Right, right. What attracted you to German Shepherds? Does it just happen that way? Or is that something there's a lot of movies. Was it Rin Tin Tin?
Right.
Was it German Shepherd, remember?
It's a very special breed. I never had a dog growing up at all.
No?
I never had a, no, my mom was allergic, may she rest in peace, to animals. So I never had an animal. So when we first got together, which was about 27 years ago, we started, because Di loves animals, and I learned that to love them as well. I always loved them, but I never had one. But when it came to doing what we were doing, trying to bring a particular breed into our rescue, we found that Shepherds were a unique breed of animal. They're very loving. They're family oriented. They'll give up their life for you, even though they're not trained to do so. They have all kinds of different abilities that we don't know about, that things such as seizure warnings and all kinds of things. They're used, obviously, in police work. They're used in search and rescue work because they're easily trained. They're very focused. They're very loyal. And we just found that breed to be the one that we wanted, because not a lot of people take them out of the shelters. And so that was an important thing.
Because of perceptions.
Yeah, the perception of this quote-unquote dangerous dog, which is ridiculous, and the same put on by the insurance companies. And they have six or seven other breeds in there, which are also ridiculous. It's not the breed. It's the owner. And typically, you will get a dog that has a screw loose once in a while. But the fact is, it's usually not the dog. It's the owner and how their dogs are trained or ignored or left to their own devices, and it always comes out to be that tracing it back to the beginning, the puppy didn't know anything, and the person taught it all the bad habits.
Yeah, it's the human.
Mostly. And, you know, we had spoken earlier that one of our requirements for people who take dogs through our rescue, they have to take it to training. Our experience over the last 20 or so years has shown us that there's many dogs that wind up in the shelters, and typically they're about a year and a half. So they've gone through sexual maturity. Mm-hmm. They may or may not be neutered or spayed, and they haven't been trained. And the problem is then people have these adult dogs,
big,
young adult dogs that they can't manage.
Yeah.
So they dump them in the shelters. And it's not the dog. It's the lack of training and understanding. So we require people to go to training because it's the communication between the dog and the person. If the dog knows what you want, they'll comply. They'll do it. If they know what the rules are, that's one of the reasons I love Shepherds, is you can set the rules, you set the boundaries, and it's not a problem.
That's one of, I think it's great. Tell everyone what's your website, because the website is great, and you talk about the training circle concept. I think that's really cool that you tell people to go ahead and get, you know, your dog. And you also offer it to other breeds. That's what I understood.
Right. Our training, right? We have five instructors who we've affiliated with, none of which are a business. We don't take money from people. The money is paid directly to the instructor. But we have two instructors in North Fort Myers who teach the class, Rusty and Dee Graham, who teach the class in Cape Coral and North Fort Myers, which, and it's open to every breed. The classes are $165 for 6 weeks, which is about a third of what PetSmart charges. And the beauty of it is we're not in it for the money. We're not in it to make a business. We're in it to make sure that you keep your dog and that you're able to understand your animal, he understand you, and be able to work together. And in order to be able to do that, the animal has to understand who is alpha. And then this training that we do, which is we consider open training, is taught in the North Fort Myers on Saturdays and in Cape Coral at JC Park on Sundays. We also have a trainer, Michelle Delaney, who trains for us in Naples. We also have a trainer, John Blaney, who trains for us in Port Charlotte and Northport area. And then Diane and I teach at the Peace River Dog Fanciers Club, which is located in Punta Gorda. The classes there are, again, open to all breeds on Wednesday nights. Wow. So you could get into a class. I had a class two or three classes ago with a Russian wolfhound, which was 220 pounds, and a chihuahua that was about a pound and a half. So you can have
in
the same class. You can have anything you want.
How cute.
The chihuahua could fit into the wolfhound's mouth. But it's just that the socialization aspect for animals, they don't know that they're not big. They just look out. So they're not looking in. And when it comes to these classes, once the animals are integrated in 10 to 15 dogs in a class, they start to understand socialization. They understand behavior. They understand response to their owner under conditions that are not normal. Because now at that point, it's not like in your home, you can teach Fluffy to sit. But when Fluffy is in a park, when there's kids screaming and there's cars going by and there's a lot of other dogs barking and what have you, and the dog still pays attention to you, which is our goal, then we've actually accomplished real training. And our training is part of our adoption process. And once somebody gets an animal from us, the animal is coming out of rescue. Remember, the animal is sometimes not coming out of the best situation. So he has to learn that you love him. He has to learn that he needs to do things for you. He has to learn that you're alpha, but in a kind way. And he has to understand the rules of the road. Once he gets that and you get that, you have a perfect union. Until you have that, you're in two different circles. He's in his own and you're in your own.
And good way to say it.
Just to add to that, too, one of the things we believe that if you're teaching a dog in a group situation, you're teaching your dog to focus on you and look to you for direction. At the same time, we're teaching you to recognize cues in the dog that the dog may be uncomfortable, unsure, so that you can provide that guidance and reassurance to the dog, so that if the mailman comes to your house and you say, Fluffy, sit, it's okay, stay, he'll comply with that, and you can then decide who comes to your house and who doesn't. If you don't sometimes people think, well, I had a trainer come to my house. Well, that's good, but that only trains the dog in that set of circumstance. You can never take it out with you. You can't take it out to have dinner and learn to lay under the table and not bother other diners. Through training in this type of scenario with a group where the dog continuously learns to focus on you, you can take it anywhere.
You have to have the right environment. You can't teach somebody to play baseball in their house. You have to have a team and a field. And the same thing with an animal. You have to bring it out into the street and let it experience all these different things. And our whole concept of being able to train the animal in a social setting means that we take dogs that were otherwise either tied to a tree, came out of a family with abuse, were ignored. That could be anything in rescue. It's not like we're taking puppies. We don't get puppies. Right. So when it comes to these animals, we don't know what their history is. So we have to show them and integrate them into the family, show them what the family means to them, what they mean to the family. And that's all done through love and through understanding of the animal. And at the same time, the animal has to respect who you are and that you are in control, especially since you have an 80 to 100 pound critter who is like, you know, running around with a loaded gun. And if you don't have it under control, you could have a problem. And people today are so litigious that, you know, somebody perceives the dog as a threat and you're going to get sued for having an animal. It makes sense to have the animal so under control and the person looks at it and says, wow, what a great dog. Then you don't have to worry about that. And we try to get the dog from the point that we don't know anything about the animal to the point that we can say, hey, this is a good family pet.
Well, that takes a lot of time and patience, which obviously you both have, which is wonderful. You know, if anyone has a question, please give us a call at 206-1580. This is a wonderful program that we're bringing to you about this great people here, Eric and Diane, and they do German Shepherd Rescue. They work with the Animal Welfare League, and I'm very proud to say that on December the 16th, the city of Punta Gorda is going to be honoring Eric and Diane Hoffer. They're going to have a proclamation and a recognition for many years of dedication to the Animal Welfare League and other nonprofit organizations. Wow. How do you feel about that? Isn't that really cool?
We're very proud of it. And we're overwhelmed that you know, people have seen, you know, the things that we're doing. We try to stay under the radar for a long time. But then we decided at some point that in order to be able to bring recognition to these organizations that we support, that bringing our name out to the marketplace and say, okay, this is, you know, we've done this, we've accomplished this, was the catalyst to being able to get more people involved. And the fact that legacy, I believe, to Diane and I is important, that we believe that leaving your mark, doing something that is important for the community, important for the people that it serves and the animals that it serves, is something that we wanted to be associated with. So the things that we've done, we've used the item itself as a naming opportunity so that our name could be associated with that particular thing that we've done, such as the building that we built at the AWL that we refurbished.
You said it's a 5,000 square foot kennel?
It's a building that was 51 years old. It was falling apart. There was some real problems with it, and they needed to make a move to fix the building. We stood up first and said, okay, we will put in a considerable amount of funding to get this building underway. And then, of course, we're still looking for funding because we still have a shortfall in it. It's a very expensive thing. It was a 5,000 square foot building with two hospitals, and it was completely redone, plumbing, electric, air conditioning. Everything had to be redone from scratch. And so we're looking to the community to say, hey, if you are interested in putting money into your own community as opposed to putting money elsewhere, then the Animal Welfare League would truly appreciate donations to be able to help complete the building. It is finished and operational. We put the money in, but that some of the money is yet to be paid. And so we've had a cash in CDs and things like that through the AWL to be able to do that. And we want to replenish that money because that's our operating capital. But the fact that the AWL building was in such bad shape, somebody had to step up, and we decided to do that. And Diane was the head of the building committee and
wow.
It was on the board at that time. And she made it happen. And she, along with Sharon Thomas and Aggie and all the people at the shelter, all the people on the committee who were instrumental in doing it, our builder, our architect, everybody that we got involved with were able to accomplish this in about 7 months' time and take the building, move the animals outside, completely gut the building, take the roof off, the whole bit, and then put it back together. And now mm-hmm. It's a perfect operating facility, and we're very proud of it, and it's called the Hoffer Animal Care Center.
Yeah. And I'd like to just add to one of the things that Eric said is it's important to us to leave a legacy.
Yes.
For many years, we've been participating in the community and donating to a lot of the local charities, and we always wanted to stay anonymous. A few years ago, we decided that if we could put a face to some of the people who are supporting these organizations, perhaps we could inspire them as well to help out in their own community with organizations like the Harry Chapin Food Bank.
Right. Tell us the other organizations that your foundation works with.
We have such need in our own community, and we do contribute regularly to Harry Chapin Food Bank. Mm-hmm. They have a group that comes into Punta Gorda and delivers food to people here in our own community, including fresh vegetables, and I've seen them give people watermelons and things like that. It's important because some of the people who can't afford their meals at this point are also getting healthy things to eat. We donate to CARE, which is it's the local rape and crisis.
Oh, yes. We had Linda Lusk from mm-hmm. CARE, and we had the Judy and David Wilson from Zonta. You know, Zonta is mm-hmm. also, it's an organization that also works with CARE, and it's an organization that is also against human trafficking, and mm-hmm. they have all great programs. It's really, it's to encourage and empower women, and it's been around. Amelia Earhart was a Zontian.
Wow.
So that's how far back the program goes. I mean, the organization. But you said also the Animal Welfare League, the
Yaya Girls.
The Yaya Girls. And you work with them too?
Yes. And in fact, Eric was inspirational in that he had met them and thought that the things that they're doing in providing food to children over the weekends where they might not have anything to eat was so critical to our community that he got involved with them, and we've been a contributor. He also worked with them to introduce them to the people at Harry Chapin who can help them get the food they were already buying at a reduced rate.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And get food, additional food for the backpacks for kids. And, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the Yaya Girls continue to have a large group of children that are on their waiting list.
300.
To participate in the program. They just don't have the funding for it.
Well, they told me they have over 1,000 backpacks that they do a week.
Yeah, 1,100. And the thing is, there's 1,400 kids that need the food. And so when it comes to something in the local community, that's also a really, really good thing to be able to donate money to because, again, there's no overhead. All the women work for free. All the food is purchased through their foundation. And without community support, it just will stop. And we have to get people in the community in Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda to be able to say, hey, I don't mind kicking in, you know, 20, 30 bucks every once in a while to this. And because it builds up, their operating budget is hundreds of thousands of dollars to provide this food 52 weeks a year every Friday. So as part of our rescue, the way this all ties together, because there is a tie-in here, we don't take money for adopting out dogs, even though we do charge for a dog. Somebody will pay us $225 for an animal. Out of the $225, $150 of that goes to the Animal Welfare League, and the check is made out directly to them. The other money is split up between the Yaya Girls Care and other and our physical kennel to be able to buy food for the animals that we have in our kennel, which is different from the AWL. But the fact is that we don't take in money. We pay that money out to these charities so that can help them. So it helps the dogs, and the people that pay for the dogs help these charities. And that's the whole way it works.
That's how you integrate it.
Yeah, we integrated it with a means by which somebody can feel that they're doing something really good. Besides taking the animal, they're also
right.
Putting money into a local cause, and they get a letter back from that cause, which is a 501c3 usually, so the money is tax deductible, and we send them a thank you letter and what have you. But it's really nice to see how the whole thing comes around. What comes around goes around, that we can help them in doing what we're doing at the same time as helping these animals.
Well, as a family physician, I feel that not just the individual health is important, we know the community health. And that's why I have brought people to my show in order to promote, for example, like, you know, the rescue. And also I've had Christy Smith, who collects the tennis shoes mm-hmm. for the kids every year for school. And last year, and everything goes to the kids, to the shoes. She works with the Kiwanis. And they last year collected 5,000 pairs of, you know, sneakers. They're sneakers.
Well, it's great. I mean, and that shows that
people
are. And
it's a need, big need.
Yep. Very important. And it's very important to support what happens in our local community.
Right.
It's nice to support some of these U.S. organizations, but to be frank with you, most of that money goes to overhead. And very, very little of it goes to the actual applications, especially with national groups, including, you know, ASPCA and a lot of these, you know, things that go on TV and say, you know, Fluffy is starving somewhere in the world, but we don't.
I can't watch those commercials.
We have our own problems here in town, and so money here, 100% of it goes to helping an animal or a person or a kid or somebody here physically in town. So it's, to me and to my way of thinking, it's much better to put your resources locally than it is to attempt to do something that you really can't see. You can't kick the tires and Don't look at the charity as a positive. Look at it as you want to give money to something, fine. But here you can look at it as look what I've done. I've really helped feed some kids. I've really helped save some animals. I really did something tangible for my community.
And earlier you had asked us about the foundation and yes. how we got started on that.
Yeah, why did you do that? I let's take a quick break because I want you to talk about that, okay, Diane?
Great.
Great. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
I hope you are.
Another morning where you just drag yourself out of bed after hitting the snooze button five times. Now you're driving to work. It's like a zombie. That lack of energy and poor sleep every night is just one sign that your hormones may be out of whack. Time to get them back in balance with Bio-T. Both men and women need testosterone and suffer without it. And all you need is a quick little test. My testosterone was too low, my estrogen too high, and it meant that I was just foggy and irritable every day until I learned about Bio-T Medical. Bio-T is all natural. It's not synthetic. It's not those shots or messy creams that you hear a lot about. With Bio-T, all you need, 2-3 treatments a year, as opposed to painful shots that you're getting every week. Come out of the fog, feel youthful again, get that libido back up, feel happy, even maintain your weight loss.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990. For your appointment.
Good morning. It's 11:32 here at the Dr. Triana Show. And once again, our phone number is 206-1580, toll free 888-441-1580. And now back to our host in the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
So we have Diane and Eric Hoffer from the Hoffer Family Foundation. And they are so philanthropic. Remember from The Wizard of Oz, a heart is judged not by how much you love, but how much you are loved by others. So obviously, these couple have done so much for so many years. They're going to even have a proclamation. They've had other accolades. But really, it's the love that they give out, and they are receiving tenfold. So tell us about the foundation, Diane.
Well, we started this. It actually was Eric's idea. And we worked with local accountants and our financial people. We all went up to Tampa and worked together to put together a foundation of our own. And our foundation basically says that it will help people and animals in our own community. And our daughter is also, our daughter Kelly is also involved as part of the board.
And excuse me, but we have a caller. Hi, caller. What's your name?
Hi, caller. I'm Diane King. I worked at the Animal Welfare League for about 6 years with adoptable cats.
Okay, Diane.
And that great golden of yours.
Oh, Jager.
I know, Diane.
Well,
Diane is talking to Diane.
I know Diane very well, and I have met her husband, Eric, a few times. We've been at their home for parties, and I had no idea they were so involved in the community, and I'm so proud to know them.
Oh.
And so proud of what they're doing. It's amazing. I told you I'd be listening to your show on Friday.
Yes.
I just driving home from Tampa, but I just wanted to just say it that I'm just so proud to know these two people, and I'm just so happy what they've done, especially for the shelter. I mean, the new intake building is top notch. I just couldn't believe it. I got a tour of it from Brenda, and it was amazing. It's amazing. Now they can really do a good job with the animals that come in, and I just want to thank Eric and Diane, and I'm just so proud to know them. I just want you to know that.
Thank you for calling.
I'm touched. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome, and I'll listen next time you're on.
Okay.
Bye, Diane and Eric.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, that was beautiful.
She's great. In fact, she even participated in one of our training classes with her dog, Jaeger.
Really?
Who she adopted from the Animal Welfare League.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're talking about the foundation.
Okay.
And yes, we do want callers. You call us at 206-1580, and so you can ask a question.
Well, I just want people to know how easy it is to set up a foundation. Yes, you do have to have a mission statement, and yes, you do have to have an accountant where you have to get a special 501c3 number from the IRS, but all of these expenses also can come out of the foundation as a business. That sounds kind of odd, and because you are required to file income taxes every year with the foundation as a separate entity. But what happens is you take money out of your own income, for example, or maybe it's your own savings. It's money you would pay taxes on to the federal government. And instead of the federal government doling out those funds to other organizations, which by the time they're distributed, they're typically dissipated. Mm-hmm. So for every dollar, maybe 10 cents of that dollar or 15 cents of that dollar actually goes to a cause. With the foundation, we're stewards of our own money. So we put money into an account. We're required every year to give away a certain percentage of that money mm-hmm. to 501c3 organizations, but we can determine where that goes. So the charities that you spoke about earlier, like Harry Chapin and CARE and the Yaya Girls and the Animal Welfare League, are all things that are important to us, and they've been organizations that we've vetted to make sure that the largest percent of the money that we donate to them actually goes to the people who need it.
That's wonderful.
The funds actually come out of your taxes, so not to you know, make any mistake, the money isn't put in by the person. It's put in by the tax dollars that you would have sent to the federal government. So you're playing with money that would already have been allocated elsewhere. And the fact is that we can keep a portion of that money, a third of that money, in the local community. And that's the beauty of it. And, of course, the costs to operate the foundation are minimal and very, very minimal. You're filing a very simple tax return. And so long as you don't take money into your 501c3 and just dole it out, it's a very simple operation, very inexpensive. And it's meaningful because you control where the assets go. We also, I didn't mention, but during the course of time, we come across an application every once in a while that we fall in love with and we say, okay, we want to help. It's outside the realm of the four charities that we do. In one case, we help buy a guy a kidney. Another case, we put up a...
What about the Golisano?
And then we donated a room to the Golisano Children's Hospital, which wound up helping to catalyze the situation in Murdoch, where they set up a facility where doctors from the Golisano Children's Hospital come up to Murdoch and do their infusions and things like that one day a week. And so that the people who live up here don't have to go all the way down to the bottom of Fort Myers to be able to get their kids treatment. They can do it locally, so long as it doesn't involve hospital stay. But we help do that. And that also is every once in a while we'll come up with something. We also in the past have supported Octagon, which is a really great facility. And others that come up where we just feel that we should become involved with it. And, you know, thankfully, over the course of time, I had a great career, and we wound up being able to fund this foundation over that time that we developed it in such a way as to have the resources to be able to do this in a significant way. But anybody that sets up a foundation, literally, it could have a couple of $1,000s in it, and if as long as you're giving away something that otherwise would have been paid in taxes, it's a really smart move to do, since it doesn't cost you anything, and all the money to be able to pay the accountant and to file comes out of the foundation itself. So you're self-funding, and so people that want to know about that would be more than happy. They could email me or they could call me, and I'd be happy to.
What's your website again?
Our website is www.swflgsd.com. Rescue. That's Southwest Florida German Shepherd Dog Rescue.com. And you can reach us at 941-575-0243. That's 941-575-0243. And we're happy to talk with you. We're happy to share information. We're happy to set you up with all the things that you would need to be able to go to your accountant and say, this is what I want to do. Because we've already done it once, and it's quite simple to do and replicate.
Or if they're looking to have a wonderful family member, a beautiful German Shepherd.
Absolutely. I have a family driving down from Pensacola for tomorrow to pick up a dog named Ralphie. It's amazing that we get people from all over the state, and in so far away as Ohio and Georgia, Louisiana, that have come to us for the dogs because they know that the dogs that we take into rescue and the dogs that we adopt out are all family pets. They're all temperament tested, and they're all dogs that would fit seamlessly into families with kids, families, elderly families, whatever. I gave a dog recently to a woman. Her son was obviously a lot younger, but she was 100. 100
really?
Years old, yeah, in Sarasota. And I actually made them both come to my house because I wanted to see to make sure that the dog would fit. This is a 100-year-old lady. And she walked up the stairs, came upstairs and said, I love German Shepherds. And she met the dog. And, of course, it's her son's dog, but she's living in the house with it. So we try to find those folks who need the animals, those folks who want the animals to be in their home, to be part of their family. And we're not really looking at somebody's age. We are somewhat looking at their financial circumstances to make sure that the animal can be well cared for. But the fact that we are non-discriminatory in any way, shape, or form in giving animals to families, we'd love more people to come to us. And the more people that we have, the more dogs can go out quicker.
One of the things I wanted to add is that different from other rescue groups, what we try to do is to interview the families ahead of time, including the children, and because we want to make sure the dog would be a good match.
Right.
Then when we have the right dog for them, we call them, have them come meet the dog, and there's never an obligation to take it. If they say it's not right, we'll continue to look for them. But the difference is we don't have to take dogs in and have them languish in our shelter, in our kennels, mm-hmm. for a month or two until we can find a home for them. We typically have homes lined up for the dogs before we even take them in.
Oh.
And I think that was a stroke of brilliance on Eric's part, to give him the credit for that.
Well, I will say that I know you were going to bring
Nemo
today, and as a guest, we were going to have a furry guest. And tell us what happened. I thought that was so beautiful.
Well, Nemo came to us as a result of a couple of tragedies in his life. His owner, the husband, was killed. The wife could no longer care for the dog. And Nemo was born with three legs. And so he hops around like an otter. And he's an 80-pound, beautiful black shepherd. And he had become available after his neuter. But we had him in a foster home for a while with one of our great four fosters that we use. And he was just sitting there, and we weren't able to get him into a home. We have a GoFundMe account to try to get him a wheelchair because he doesn't need one now, but he will need one in a couple of years. And then just last night, I got a call from a gentleman from Naples who was looking for a companion dog. And he has his completely open heart. He's a really great guy. And he came down. And I said, well, would you like to see Nemo? And he said, well, sure. So we went over to see him, and he took one look at this dog and fell in love with him and just melted in front of the dog. And we adopted him last night. So we're still looking to help fund Nemo's wheelchair because it's almost a $700 investment to get a front wheel wheelchair for him so he can run around and still have a great time but still be able to not rip his shoulder up carrying his 80-pound gigantic chest on that one foot. But we come across animals all the time that sometimes have disabilities, but for the most part, we cure all the things that we can. Heartworm is one of them. But the things that we insist on when the animal comes in, which is temperament, and we can't cure that. So if an animal comes in that has aggression, we just cannot take it. And so we know that the animals only exude love and they can be into anybody's family. But at times there's going to be issues, and we take care of those sometimes at the Animal Welfare League using their hospital, sometimes with different organizations that won't donate help to the animal. But in this case, we're trying to get we have nobody that will donate a chair for us. So we're trying to get a GoFundMe account to be able to get a chair built by a company for him in the next few months.
What about a prosthetic?
Well, he can't because he has no shoulder. His whole shoulder was removed at the time. So he's not like he has a piece of leg that he could put on. He has to have a strapped chair to be able to support his front weight.
And typically the chairs are built for dogs with back leg disabilities.
Yeah, wiener dogs. That's the dogs
yep,
I have.
Yep. And so it's unusual to find companies that can build
for
the front. And a lot of them that you see online are for Chihuahuas. Well, a Chihuahua, maybe 3 to 5 pounds for the little ones. And Shepherds typically are, like this particular dog is probably closer to 80. One thing I wanted to add with our rescue as well is any dogs that someone gets from us, they've had all their shots, which includes rabies, distemper parvo, and bordetella. They're heartworm tested. If they're heartworm positive, they're treated either by the Animal Welfare League for us or through the shelters that we receive the dogs from. They're also spayed and neutered.
And chipped.
And chipped.
So the animal is drive off the lot perfect. So when somebody gets a dog from us,
drive off the lot
they're ready to go home, and
how
there's
come
no
we
problem.
Can't find humans like that?
I know. It's other thing. But the animals are and the other thing about the animal that's an intangible is when I take an animal in from a shelter or a person, I commit to it for life. So we will always take an animal back regardless of what. In fact, I'm taking an animal back tomorrow. I gave an animal to a woman, and unfortunately she's developed terminal cancer and she's going into hospice in the next week. And she's having the animal brought back to us tomorrow. But it's one phone call. If something happens in the family, if they have to do something, we will always take the animal back, no questions asked, because we know that animal. I committed to him for life, and I will then rehome him again at no cost to the person.
That's beautiful. That is really beautiful that you feel a sense of responsibility forever.
What I also like is that many times people who get a dog from us, they come back and get their second and sometimes third dog as well. So,
because I know you have a couple of dogs too. And I, you know, for me, they are, I come home and I love my little dogs. I have, you know, they're little, the Dachshunds. But they bring so much love to my life. And I know for me, they're therapy. And I know you did pet therapy, you said, right?
We did. Eric and I did pet therapy when we lived in New Jersey for more than 10 years. We took our dogs and our cat, who was a therapy animal as well, to visit hospitals. And we went into the pediatric, the psychiatric, the elderly floors, and the general nursing floors. We also went to a head trauma hospital for children, a specialized hospital for children. I went to a head trauma unit where I brought my cat. And what was always amazing to me is you put a cat on somebody's bed and you think, okay, the cat's going to bolt. This cat hunkered down and let people who had mobility issues pet him. Oh. And he would just purr and purr and purr. So, I mean, there were times that I would stand outside the room, you know, and watch my teammate with their animal and practically cry because there would be a response from the patient that a lot of people had given up on.
And also the people that were in the room, you know, they can see the patient, they're the family, and they can see the kid petting the dog and the kid smiling or whatever the response is from depending on the condition. And the elderly, I mean, we did elderly for that same 8 to 10 year period where we would go in and meet these old people and they would tell us about their issues and that they had a dog before and what have you. And we set up another foundation then for students to come in and talk to the elderly so that they would have somebody to visit them. That was in New Jersey. But there's a lot of things that we've done over the course of time that have brought animals and people together. And that catalyst is amazing to see. We've seen people in the nursing home where they were all gnarled up and nobody visited them and they were just in terrible shape. And our Golden at the time, Brandon, may rest in peace, he used to come into the hospital and he would walk up to the wheelchair and these people, their arms would fold out, they would melt it and they would pet the dog, they have a smile on their face, the wrinkles would go away. And then, you know, and it was somebody to visit them. And there's a lot of people in our local community now that do pet therapy through the Delta Society or through Therapy Dogs International. We don't do that anymore because we just don't have the bandwidth with the other things that we're doing. But they're very generous people with their time and take their dogs to these hospitals and nursing homes. And it does really have a tremendous effect.
And reading programs.
Oh, really?
Locally, yep, where they use the animals to help children in the local schools read. And what it is the children read to the animals, maybe the dog, or in my case, it was my cat. Mm-hmm. And the cat's not judgmental if the child mispronounces a word, whereas if they're reading out loud in front of their peers, if they mispronounce a word, maybe the other kids snicker at them or whatever. The animals don't do that. And I know that they have had a lot of success in the school system here with these. It's called Read Program.
That's wonderful.
And the catalyst, whoever the person is, with Diane used to do that, would say to the child, can you tell me what the story is about? And with the reading to the animal, he would have to explain to our cat what the story was about. And it's statistically proven that over the course of time, these kids got better scores because they had to understand, they had to explain to the animal what was going on, which is just an amazing situation where the instead of being reading to their peers or reading to the teacher, they're reading to a cat, and they have to help the cat out understand.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to take one more little break. Stay tuned.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified BioT physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the BioT website. That is BioTEmedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with BioT. Call me at 941-625-1990 1990 for your appointment.
It's 11:53 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. Once again, if you'd like to get a last-minute phone call in, call us at 206-1580 or toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now it's back to the Dr. Triana Show. Here's Dr. Triana.
And thank you all. And we have today with us Eric and Diane Hofford. Give us again your phone numbers, your contact numbers, if anybody missed that, your website, because you all are doing so much. It's so wonderful.
Well, if anybody wants to contact me directly, our website is www.swflgsdrescue.com. And my email is alphadog@comcast.net. They can contact us at our office phone number, which is 941-575-0243, 941-575-0243, and we'd be happy to work with them in terms of doing a preliminary interview for a dog, or if you have an interest in what our foundation does or how to become part of it, or how to help out Nemo to get his wheelchair or any of the other things that we're trying to accomplish within our rescue, please don't hesitate to call, because anything that is valuable to us. We're looking for fence posts right now. We're looking for things that maybe somebody would throw in the garbage. We have needs for things, and certainly we have needs for resources. And if you have an interest in participating, please give us a call. We would love to work with you and show you what we do.
And that's really wonderful. So someone may be able to just donate and know all of the good causes they're helping out, right, Diane?
Yes. And I was going to just mention, I know that the Animal Welfare League is having their annual yard sale sometime in January. So if you're in the process of cleaning out your garage, your house, you have things around that you're not using anymore, I'm sure they would appreciate the donation. You would need to drop it off to them on Durant Street in Port Charlotte.
You know, I told you I grew up on Harborview Road. When I was a little kid, I used to ride my horse down to the Animal Welfare League. My sister and I did that. And So, I mean, it's been there for a long time. I think you said over 50 years.
Yeah, the building was up for 51 years.
Well, I'm 58, so.
Just was there.
And I've told all my audience, I have no qualms about telling my age, and I grew up here in Charlotte County. So I remember, and now I haven't gone and rescued other animals like a kitty, but sometimes it's, you know, I am so sentimental. I just can't walk in there and not think I'm going to fall in love with every baby, and because I have three babies already.
Well, it's very hard. We take in animals and they come to our home, or when I evaluate them, they're in our kennel. But somehow they have wormed their way into my heart, and we've made seven mistakes of our own trying to keep a few over the course of time. And every animal that comes into our rescue, we consider keeping. But at that point, we would have 743 dogs, and that's just a little bit too much for the house.
Yes, and for the health benefits, again, I have said this numerous times on the show, being that this is a health show, medical show. How wonderful in your life for your children. I think when I was growing up, I had a horse. You had to learn how to take care of your horse. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just riding your horse from top to bottom. Keep care of your horse, bathe your horse, your dogs, having them in your life. Don't you feel like that, Diana?
I do. I can tell you, they give me such joy. And at the times where I'm discouraged or not feeling my best, they know it. And they're right there saying, Mom, what can I do? And we had one dog at 9/11. I was watching, we lived in New Jersey at the time, and I just fell to the floor when I saw what happened. And my dog came over and kept trying, he was a big dog, 50 pounds, kept trying to sit in my lap. He went to his toy box and brought each toy one by one, saying, hey, Mom, will this make you feel better? So certainly your pets get tuned into you. They can provide such tremendous joy and comfort at times when you need them.
And love, the most wonderful thing, love. You know, on my show, I say over and over again, your physical health is just as important as your sexual health, as your mental health, and as your spiritual health. And I know we're winding up, and I want to thank my wonderful guests, Diane and Eric Hoffer, such a pleasure that you all came. With all that you do, I'm just so excited and honored that you came.
Well, thank you for having us.
We're thrilled to be here, and thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I think it's so exciting you're going to have your proclamation, and well-deserved. And I know in the future you'll be getting many more thank yous from this community, because really, you both have little doggy halos on your head.
Well, and I just hope that other people within the community, I know that there are people that have a lot of resources out there. If they've thought about doing something, I just hope that they look to our own community to help out.
Yes. Thank you. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, the Dr. Triana. Stay healthy and God bless.
WCCF, Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, coming to you from the Grand Air Services Studios. Award-winning air conditioning.